First of all, giving reverence to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to my pastor, the angel of this house, Reverend James A. Brooks II, and to the St. John Church family. I just want to say thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity to stand in this pulpit before this God's people. And today, this morning, I will be preaching from the book of Luke, 21st chapter, verses 5 through 11. The sermon title is Get Your House in Order.
All right.
And I would, first of all, just let me pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, I pray that this sermon would build up your people, Lord, that it would inspire some people. And then, Lord, we just pray that your word would go forth and not come back void, Lord, and that as I stand, that you would preach to me and then preach through me. Father, I stretch my hand to thee, know the help I know. If I withdraw myself from thee, whither to shall I go? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The text is coming from the 21st chapter, the 5th verse to the 11th verse, and it reads, "And some spake of the temple, how it adorned with godly stones and gifts. Jesus said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ.
Right.
And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall be there, be from heaven. The disciples admiring the temple." Amen. That is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. You know, we are living in a time, I believe, where we are able to see or able to understand more than all the generations before biblical prophecies are being fulfilled. You know, right now, as we look at the news, we see so much destruction in Palestine right now. Palestine is being reduced from rubble. This video that is about to start. This is from the news yesterday. This is Nashville, Tennessee. It talks about weather in diverse places. And we know that tornadoes and everything are commonplace. But one of the things that we see back there at this time is that the intensity of this storm, and it's just not stopping in Nashville, Tennessee. This storm is all over back east right now, and it is really a powerful storm. 65 million threatened by severe weather. And so we seen storms before, but we haven't seen it of this magnitude before. We've seen wars before, but as we see that what's going on in Israel is a much higher level. They never went into Gaza as they are today. That never happened before. And so what we're seeing now is a biblical proportion. Now, I want to tell you that I've heard many preachers talk about the end time. Or I have seen where people have predicted the day and the year that the world is coming to an end. But you know, the Lord said, no man knows the day nor the hour. And I would not try to give you a time, a day or an hour. And we don't want to get caught up in the same mistakes that a lot of people have made and given a day and an hour, because the Lord has already said, no man knows the day nor the hour. And even if we could figure out when, we know that a day to man is as 1,000 years to God. And so we can't really pinpoint it down to any particular date. And we're not going to try. The disciples was admiring the temple. It must have been a glorious sight to behold. And Jesus foretold of its destruction to their surprise. One of the things that I see in this is that, you know, we should not get our faith in things, in the temple, because it's temporal. It's a temporal thing, which is all these things are going to pass away. The disciples asked two questions. When was it going to be destroyed? And what was the sign, the warnings? Be not deceived. We are all aware of all the wars that are going on now, the inhumane, cruel things that are going on in the world today. 6 months ago, everyone was fixated on the war in Ukraine and all the deaths that occurred there with Russia. And now Israel is at war with Hamas. 17,000 Palestinians are reported to have been killed. War is going on in Congo. Africa is facing a food crisis. The continent is suffering from an unprecedented food crisis. The war between Russia and Ukraine is causing the world's supply of grain to be affected. And then there's catastrophic rains in eastern Africa. Hundreds of people have died and millions have been affected since the rains began in October. This is in East Africa. Let me begin by saying, I do not know the day nor the hour. Jesus says that no man knows the day or the hour, and I'm not going to try to make any predictions. But what I have found in this text are the signs that will occur before the end comes. A day to a man is 1,000 to the Lord. Jesus was dealing with two questions. It will help to understand what is being said. He is answering the questions, when will the temple be destroyed, and what signs of his return and the end of the world? He's covering the signs and the events that are caused and occurred of both the temple and the world. The point Scripture teaches that the same sins and events that cause judgment upon everything, that is the events, sins that cause judgment upon the one thing are the same events that will bring judgment upon everything. Therefore, the sign that surrounded the destruction of Jerusalem are much the signs that surround the end of the world. But what Jesus was saying had a double meaning to it. The Lord and a double application. The Lord's word applied both to the disciples of his day and the disciples of following succeeding generations. As long as the earth stands, the disciples of the last days of ages are faced with many of the same signs by those who experience the destruction of Jerusalem. However, there is one difference. At the end of the world will increase and intensify. As we was just saying earlier when we were looking at this, the destruction that's going on in Tennessee right now and all over back east, this storm is much more intense than the previous storms. And so we know that there have been signs and earthquakes through all these generations. But the thing that we want to understand is there have been signs through all generations, but not at this degree. And they have intensified and increased over the years. And so, as I was saying before, I believe that we have a opportunity or an ability to see and understand more biblical prophecy than ever before. False Christ. One of the things that he said was false Christ will arise. And he said, take heed, be not deceived, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. We have witnessed many false prophets in our lives. A false prophet is someone that claims to speak for God and their prophecies don't come true. A prophet that deviates from God's word, and one that lies claiming that God told him to say so. I have listened to many that claim that God had told them the day and the hour. I remember the Jehovah Witness claiming that the world was coming to an end in the year 1977. 1977 came and gone. They don't give dates anymore, nor did they bother to explain why it didn't come to pass. But you know, I just remember that they had a terrifying message, a battle of Armageddon, which you don't hear anymore. But they made these claims, and as I say, when this prediction didn't come to pass and the time had passed, they just went on like nothing ever happened. They've changed their message a little bit, but there's a fear of given a day and an hour when the Lord has said, no man knows the day nor the hour. Right. There's a minister named Kenneth Hagee who preaches, I don't know what his message is now, but he preaches on the end time prophecy, but never was able to figure out the days and the hour. Some of these predictions create fear and mistrust in the church. Jesus, on the other hand, gives us comforting words. First, he tells us he will never leave us alone nor forsake us. Right. And he tells us that it's expedient that I go, that another one like me may come. Right. We have the Holy Spirit with us until the end of the ages. And then we have conflict among nations. Jesus' disciples and believers since Jesus' days have witnessed these signs, but the difference being that our time, the conflicts have been increased and intensified. Spiritual warfare. When I was in elementary school, I used to be able to walk to school. We used to walk to school. We used to walk everywhere to the baseball park without any fear of being abducted, molested, or being shot. The only thing we had to worry about was our parents. The devil is the ruler of this world. Thursday on the news, a college professor was rejected by the University of Las Vegas and went on a killing spree. 30 years ago, gunmen killing college students was unheard of. Schools and campuses were safe.
Right.
Even the gangs and all that put those things off limit. But today, the United States of America has escaped wars on our land because of the distance between us and the enemies. Since the bombing of the federal building, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, we might not be in a conventional war, but we are under attack. We have people from all over the world here on both sides of the war in Ukraine, both sides of the war in Gaza and Palestinians. People are protesting Israeli occupation in Palestine, in Gaza. The Jewish people are protesting for Israel's right to defend itself. We have protesters to support Ukraine. And although we're not going, the war is not going on here, both World War I and World War II were fought in Europe. We have a spiritual warfare going on here.
Right.
The Messiah is a deliverer of all mankind, not just a small group of people and right. their needs. And an invitation goes out to all the people, whosoever will come to the Lord. And so some people say or believe that America is the promised land and that they have a right to say who will and who won't be saved. But God's invitation, the Messiah, is a Savior that has come for all people. The end times referred to is as the beginning of sorrows and tribulation. Right now, when I think of all the death, destruction, and suffering going on into the world today, I feel sorrow. It seems like before you can get over one thing, something else happened. Right. Every time you turn your TV on, there's something devastating on. Not just, you know, a person dying or something happening, but the whole world is in turmoil. Mm-hmm. Natural disasters. He spoke of natural disasters. The UN says Africa has an unprecedented food crisis. 3 in 4 people unable to afford a healthy diet.
Wow.
This is caused by climate change. We have had more disasters from earthquakes to hurricanes, fires, and flooding in a way that's never been seen before. It's hard to imagine things getting any worse, but they are. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. John said, come quickly, Jesus. He says, come, Jesus. Come quickly. You know, Jesus' warning is not to terrify us. As believers, we shouldn't be afraid of tribulations.
Right.
Because Jesus' warning is to prepare us. Just as he was preparing his disciple for his departure, just as he was preparing his disciples for the coming end of the destruction of the temple, this is written to us as disciples also to prepare us to get our house in order so that we might draw closer to the Lord when he returns, because he is going to return. When the Bible, when Jesus returns, the Bible is clear that the Lord will return on the cloud or come bringing clouds. He will be accompanied by clouds. God can't be imitated. Every eye shall see him, and there won't be any doubts. You know, it says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Luke 21:27. Jesus told us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many mansions.
Right.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I will go to prepare a place for you. And when I come, I will receive you unto myself. Where I am, you may be also. And Luke 27, it says, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. You know, many have come and claimed to be the Lord, but Jesus said that when he comes back, no one can imitate the Lord. No one can do what the Lord can do. They say when he comes back on that great day, everybody will know that it's him. And everybody, there won't be no confusion about who the Lord is. Get your house in order. These signs don't tell us, but when they tell us is to be ready. The Lord said not to fear, for the signs tell us that he is about to return. Jesus is getting us ready for that great day. Mm-hmm. He's getting us ready for that great day. Who shall be able to stand? You know, when the Lord was dragged from judgment hall to judgment hall, mm-hmm. when they beat him and made him carry his own cross to Calvary, hung him between two thieves, and they mocked him saying, if you be Christ, you saved others, why don't you save yourself? And so they mocked him. One thief had enough sense to say, Lord, remember me. And he said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. And before they could break his leg, he gave up the ghost. We know that the Lord was crucified and that all our sins was taken to the nailed to the cross with him.
Right. Right.
When they mocked him and said, come down and save yourself, he knew that if he came down, then all of us would be lost.
Right.
And so he died on that cross.
Right. Right.
They took him down and they buried him. And he stayed buried for 3 days. But on that third day, he rose up again.
Amen.
That third day, Sunday morning, he rose up with all power in his hands.
Right.
And so the warnings of the world coming to an end is not to frighten us, but it's to comfort us. Remember, he was talking to his disciples, and as he was departing, he was preparing them for what was to come. And so this is also to prepare us as we face all that's going on in the world today. Be comforted by the words of the Lord, that as long as we are in him, he himself will come back and receive us unto himself. Amen.
Amen.